Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Brian Cross and I'm the committee chairman. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided at the centre of the room. I will indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken at this meeting, which will be published on the Council's website. Members of the community, of the committee, are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members can only deal with the planning application before them, in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item 1 minute.
Not this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies from Councillor Cooper, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Beattie, Councillor Edgeler, who is substituted by Councillor Trowbridge, and Councillor Pardesi, who is substituted by Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests or lobbying.
Councillor Kemp, hand up, Chairman.
Councillor Kemp.
Yes, I've been spoken to about the Rowley Park thing. One, I haven't made any decision about it. And also, I've read an email from the person at Stone, which I assume everybody else has.
Thank you. Yes, I in fact have received emails reference 20/32/679/6 Mill Farms Barnes, which I forward to the planning officers.
I also have them.
I think all the committee got that. Councillor Trowbridge. Thank you.
I think Councillor Trowbridge has got another point, Chairman.
You have a question, Councillor Trowbridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm speaking on 20/32128/FUL, so won't be voting. Thank you.
Right, you'll be speaking as the ward member then. Councillor Jones?
In relation to 20/32364/FUL, this is a referral back, and I wasn't on the committee for the original. Can you clarify what
because of this
in relation to the business tonight?
Because of this, I have spoken to the planning officer and the legal department, and our planning officer will give a fuller presentation on this to enlighten those members that were not there. Although we did have a very long and full discussion at the planning meeting that it was referred back from.
But I can participate fully in the
I think you can confirm that, Simon.
I just missed that, Chairman. Sorry, what was that?
Those that weren't present will be allowed to speak and vote on this application.
Yeah, yes, indeed, Chairman, that the full members of the committee can take part in that matter. So it's the first matter about the helipad, isn't it?
That's the one. Yes.
Just ask a technical question. Why haven't we all got microphones, Mr. Chairman?
Because the recording picks that up. This is for the benefit of the presenters presenting the case and me as the chairman.
The solicitor didn't hear what Councillor McGarrett Jones said at all.
It is because he was
deaf.
Looking at something else. Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. In respect to 23/2679, 6 Mill Farm Barns, I will not be taking part in the discussion and I will not be voting.
Thank you. You've obviously declared an interest in that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? We'll continue then. Item 4, delegated applications.
has published on the council's website, Chairman.
So, planning applications, we shall go through. You turn to page 5 of your agendas. And the first application is 20/33264/FUL. Aston Hall, Aston Hill, Aston Viaduct C, installation of a hangar and helipad. As I said earlier, this was referred back from a previous committee meeting. I now hand over to our planning officer, who will present the case.
Thank you, Chairman. This, as the Chairman has said, is an application for a hangar, for a helicopter and a helipad, and for change of use of land to allow private flights to and from the site. The application was considered by committee on the 14th of April this year, and it was deferred as set out on page 5 of the agenda. You'll see that on page 5 and 6, the report details what we went back to the applicant with, and you'll see that the applicant has not agreed to make any amendments to the proposed management plan and has asked that the application be determined on that basis. As the Chairman said, many of the members were not present at that committee on the 14th of April, so we will go through the whole presentation again. I'll show you the photographs and the plans that were at that meeting. What you will see from the photos is that the site of the hangar is screened by trees, and you'll note from the report that it would be earth-sheltered by means of a bund to the north, south and east, so it would only be visible from the west where the opening would be. The helipad would comprise a concrete slab with a further concrete link between the helipad and the hangar. You will see from the report that the main issue with this proposal is that of noise, but that noise impacts of aircraft in flight is not a planning matter. In this case, a management plan is proposed which would limit flying times and the number of days flying. So to turn to the presentation, hopefully you can all see one or other of the screens. So the red edge is the application site. The actual location of the hangar is here. You can see my, see how I've shown it? No. Okay. Let me describe it then. The access is shown from the road around the side of the property. You will see a sort of semicircle, which is the helipad element, and then bottom right is a larger rectangle, which is the hangar, that's the word. And then the link between the two is also concrete. The aerial photograph shows the same thing. But you can see there that the screening that I referred to, quite extensive area of trees and other shrubbery to the north, east and south. There are 5 images. The first one is looking directly towards where the hangar would be, and you can see there's already earth mounding at that point. And the proposal is to build on that to screen, effectively earth screen, the hangar itself. Image 2 is taken at a slightly different angle, but you can see from that probably clearer the scale of some of the trees around the proposal. Image 3 is looking back towards the house. And in this case, the location of the hangar is to the right of the photograph, and the helipad element would be more to the left centre of the photograph. The access is shown down the side of the property. Image 4. This one is looking to the west, so this is away from the helipad and the hangar. So to the west is the side that isn't screened, if you recall from the original aerial photograph. And finally, image 5 This is the looking down from the north directly in a southerly direction. So the helipad and the hangar will be situated the other side of those trees. So those are the trees that screen to the north. So just to recap on that. So what you've seen, those are the direction of the photographs that you've seen. So you've seen it looking east, looking north, and looking south. Oh, and the number four was looking away from it towards the west. Turning out to the plans, that's the original red edge that you saw. The blue edge is simply the extent of the land ownership. Focuses in a bit more detail, and you can see where the hangar is. That's the grey shaded area in the, to the bottom right. Plan 3 shows the hangar itself. So elevation A is what you would see looking towards it, looking in an easterly direction. There's then a section drawing at the bottom, and then at the top right you'll see a layout showing how that works, the concrete link, and then where the helipad element described, and those are landing zones stroke entrance to the hangar. And finally, plan 4 shows what you would see looking from at the bottom left from the west, looking easterly towards the entrance of the hangar, and then to the right what you would see from the side. The top left is showing how the land would be raised, the earth bund around the side, in terms of this showing levels there in the sort of green colours and the trees around it. Chairman, the recommendation remains that the application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, John. There is no objector, no supporter. Ward Councillor, Councillor Winnington, do you wish to speak on this? I remind you, you have 5 minutes from when you start.
Right, okay, I won't take 5 minutes. Just, I called this application in as local member on the grounds of noise disruption. There's a livestock, when I say livestock, there's a stables net nearby, and we've also got Millennium Greens next to this as well. So it was really, I wanted to ensure that we got the best deal possible in terms of disruption for local people, for the livestock, and obviously for the men in green. Now, I've listened to the application, and I think at the last planning meeting there was no problems with the application itself in terms of the planning. What was a concern was the movements. Now, I've looked through the papers, and it says that there's no change. The applicant doesn't agree to changing the management plan, but it then says, furthermore, it's stated that, and it goes to the Environmental Health Officer, Planning Officer, has resulted in a reduction in proposed flying days from 104 to 60. Now, this is really what the committee was asking for, the 60 days rather than 104, and also a restriction on the number of flights on that day, because the point that was made, it's quite a good point, I can't remember who made it, that it might only be 60 days, but they could be flying from dawn to dusk on those 60 days. So really, I'd just like some clarity from the officers on how many days this is, and I understand two flights a day, that's a fair comment, and I also understand the need for safety in terms of if someone has to come and work on the machine and test flight, but I would like some clarity as to how many flights are allowed on this.
Jim, could you respond to that? I think it was in the Conservation Officer's report that the agreement was 60, if I'm not wrong.
Chairman, the number of days at 60 is the same as was considered by committee on the 14th of April. The reference there to it being reduced from 104 to 60 was the applicant originally started at 104, and the discussions with the Environmental Health Officer prior to the last meeting got that reduced to an agreed figure of 60. Within 60 days, there is no limit on how many times you could fly in and out in a day, and that was one of the things that committee asked him to consider last time.
Yeah, but sorry, Chair, can I just ask again for clarity? It does say in the report also that restricting days to two movements a day would prohibit the applicant for flying on a day when maintenance or service operation may require a test flight. And this is what I just said, I can understand that's a safety issue and whatever, but it doesn't say anywhere in the report that there's going to be a laissez-faire on those 60 days, as many flights as possible. And also, in the conditions, it doesn't actually refer back to the 60 days either, so is it enforceable?
The 60 days comes within a management plan, and so condition 4, page 30 of the agenda, says the development hereby permitted shall be operated in strict accordance with the management plan titled Management Plan for Operation of Rotorcraft, Aston Hall, revised 25th of March 2021. So it would be in accordance with that condition.
Yeah, and sorry, Chair, does it say in there that there's unlimited flights on those 60 days?
It doesn't limit the number of flights on those 60 days.
Right.
But if I recall from the previous meeting, you could in fact land in his front garden an unrestricted amount of times.
28 days.
Chairman, the permitted development rights, you could use land for 28 days without requiring planning permission.
I know somewhere it mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. I just wanted some clarity on that. I'm still not sure whether I've got the clarity on that, but thank you for listening.
I'm happy to clarify anything else if members want me to.
Yeah. Can I just explain myself a little bit there? Because at the last meeting it was said that they wanted some sort... The reason it was referred back, one of the reasons was this 60 days, okay, but they could be flying all day on pleasure trips or something like that. So that was...
That's what it's referred back for,
yeah.
But the applicant has declined to amend it along those lines.
Right. So as it stands at the moment, the applicant can fly on those 60 days as many times as you want?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. You may remain at your seat there for any clarification. Any member wish to speak on this? Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And apologies if I'm asking questions that other people already know, but I wasn't privy to this meeting before. Could you just explain to me where the Millennium Green is and the Ramblers have talked about Syford 9 and Syford 7 being walkways. How close are they to the heliport?
Not very. Well off that.
Well off.
Kind of skirt. This is Aston by Doxy, so the Millennium Green is at Derrington, which is to the south-west, I think. Don't have a... We haven't got a plan on the wall or anything that can really show you one, but it's quite away from here.
Alright, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kemp.
Can we have a look at the photographs, please?
stop there, John. That the building behind, in actual fact, is the farm, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, one of the problems here is this helicopter going up as many times as it wants in any day will be disturbing the livestock. And I think that's a concern of one of the neighbours, at least. And, you know, I'm quite surprised that the applicant decided not to accept what we asked him, that he should, you know, try to make it one up and one down on a day. And that, you know, I feel in actual fact that our request has been ignored.
This is because we agreed a plan with our own people.
Yeah, I agree on that, but the point is, you know, it came to the committee and the committee came up with that particular proposal.
Of which the applicant has refused to accept. Councillor Hobbs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same. I think it's quite concerning that, you know, it's going to be frightening the livestock and also this livery stable that's nearby where people are going to be horse riding and the horses could be spooked. I mean, somebody could be injured at the very least. You know, it is. And the other thing is so surprising that Cypress Airfield is so close by and that could be used, you know, and it's only about a mile and a half away from where the proposed helicopter pad is. So it's, you know, it just seems a bit, you know, a bit risky, really, to be honest.
The Highway Authority have no objections, the Ministry of Defence have no objections, and the Flight Authority have no objections. As an injury report, and that's safeguarding, have no objections. And helicopters do fly along that, not that far from the M6, and helicopters frequently fly.
I think it was mentioned before, wasn't it, that the main noise comes from when it's taken off and landing, and that's near the farm.
But if it was in his front guard for 28 days, he could take off and land as many times as he wanted. So
which is the other side? It's away from the farm.
Not that far when you look at the distance. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a question, I'm confused. Does it mean that any helicopter owner, anywhere in the country, can take off and land on his own property as often as he likes? I mean, this is what I'm trying to get at. If he gets 60 days permission, isn't there somebody in the country who monitors these things? I mean, I used to live by an airport, and you couldn't put a balloon up without getting permission off the ministry or somebody. Is there no control over it? I mean, that's what I'm asking. Just a simple yes or no would do. If you know the answer, John, sorry, I didn't mean to.
If only it was that simple.
Yes, I'm sorry, isn't it?
Okay.
Sure, I mean, if a guy living next door who has a helicopter, can he go up and down as well in the same?
There's two different things here. What, as was mentioned before, there are permitted development rights for temporary use of land for 28 days in a year. So, if you've got a big enough garden, you could land a helicopter and take one off 28 days in a year without needing planning permission. In terms of approval on airfields and things like that, that will be in terms of controlled airspace. It will be the Civil Aviation Authority that are involved, which is a totally different matter.
And it doesn't fly around here?
Not to individual pieces of land like that. It does if you're close to an airport, on a flight route and things like that, but this is not here.
That was all I wanted. Thank you, John.
Councillor Beattie, then Councillor Phillips.
All these things. Bear with me. Thank you, Chairman. I'm looking at the report from the Environmental Health Officer, and his view is that the revised management plan would afford a satisfactory level of control of amenity aspects. And then he goes back to the, and this is the question I want to ask. It says the Environmental Protection Act specifically exempts aircraft noise, including helicopters, from the general noise nuisance control. So that seems to be what constrains anything that any decisions that we might make. Therefore, the service cannot comment regarding potential noise impacts. So the management plan is the best possible option as a result of that. Is that absolutely binding? Is there any planning law that overrides this? That because noise is obviously the factor in all of this that matters, and the effect on neighbours.
In terms of noise, it comes down to effectively whether or not it's a statutory nuisance. What the Environment Health Office is explaining is that noise from airborne aircraft or helicopters, for that matter, is not something that is controllable as a statutory nuisance. So it could deal with noise on the ground. So if you start it up and it's going noisily on the ground for half an hour or something like that, that's potentially something that could be dealt with. Once it's left the ground, it's not within their control.
And that's why he's recommended the management plan.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
That's satisfied, Councillor.
Yes. And I'd like to propose that we approve it on the basis that, that the Environment and Health Office has been very clear about the powers that we have.
All right. Well, our proposal is accepted, subject to the appropriate conditions, as seconded by Councillor Jones. I'll carry on with the debate today because Councillor Phillips had their hand raised.
Thank you, Chair. It's my recollection on this original application when everybody spoke. I know that our concerns at the time were for the neighbours and the noise that this was going to create for them. It is closer to the neighbours than it is to the property. And the concern that they had that this helicopter was going to be landing and taking off as many times as it wanted to on whatever days it wanted to. So Christmas Day, bank holidays, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And originally the applicant wanted 104 flying days, bearing in mind 28 is the legally allowed without having to put in for planning, 104. And I understand that there was a lot of negotiations to get it down to 60. 60 is still a lot. It's still a lot over 28. If you're a neighbour who has to sit and listen whilst they're sat out in their gardens to this helicopter landing and taking off, and the noise is considerable, the warming up and cooling down noise. So I think it was important that this went back for clarification on things, to re-look at things. I'm really disappointed that the applicant has made absolutely no attempt to look at the concerns of the planning committee and not budge in any way, shape or form. That does bother me because the neighbours really did put their hands up in quite considerably large numbers and put quite a lot of concerns forward. I still have the same concerns that I had when we saw this first time round. I worry that this is going to affect the lives and the mental health of the adjoining neighbours and the peace and quiet that they currently have. And their concern also for their animals. So I still have exactly the same concerns that we had the first time round.
All right, thank you, Councillor. I'd like to Don Hammond to answer that, some of those queries.
Thank you, Chairman. I think Councillor Phillips was looking at page 10, which tells you a little bit more about the management plan. So on there you'll see that the management plan would limit the hours within the day, albeit from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. weekends and bank holidays. It does prevent flying, that would prevent flying on Christmas Day. So in terms of the answer I gave to Councillor Winnington about the number of flights you could have, that would be unlimited, but within that time band. So, you know, between on a weekday between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. you could go in and out as many times as you like, but not after that or not before that. And I guess one of the things you need to consider is under permitted development rights, there will be no restriction on the hours. It could be 24 hours a day for 28 days a year. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Well, Councillor Godfrey and then Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of things. I have to say I wouldn't want to be a neighbour. I think, as Councillor Phillips has just mentioned, it'll be a noise that isn't there at the moment. And also I'd be concerned of my own livestock in the area as well. Having said all that, I take on board that there is very little grounds for refusal. One comment I will make, though, and again it does refer to page 10, which I think someone's mentioned, is policing these flights. Now, I just actually say in the report that records of the flights will be kept in the pilot's logbook, and records will be retained for 12 months and made available to the local planning authority upon request. Will we be requesting them? Or is this open to abuse?
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McGill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I believe this is the wrong use in the wrong place. As Aidan has just said, the residents in that area enjoy a quiet life at the moment, and this will play havoc with that. I also think the case against permission is stronger than the case for permission. When you read the letters that the neighbours have sent in, it's very convincing that you do not want this helicopter flying from that place, and I will not be supporting it when it goes to the vote.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone else wish to speak? Right, I've got a proposal by Councillor Beattie, seconded by Councillor Gareth Jones, that the application be permitted subject to the appropriate conditions as listed. All those in favour, please show.
Five.
Those against?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
The application to approve is refused. Can someone now give me a proposal to support the refusal that will not bring harm, so that this can give harm?
Public health issues? Public health and safety?
So, Chairman, if you're going to refuse the application, it needs to be a reason that's backed up by policy and will stand upon appeal, otherwise we stand a significant risk of a cost to the board.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, to say it is the wrong use in the wrong place. And just because someone can operate for 28 days a year doesn't mean that we're sort of bulldozed into approving it.
But we have to put material planning conditions down as a reason for refusal. When you read the report, every consultee has no objections, including the parish council that this area lives in. And if this we could find a reason for refusal and it goes to appeal, we would lose the appeal because of all the consultees, and the council will be subject to costs.
Chairman, obviously any decision needs to be evidence-based and based on policy grounds. the difficulty here is that, as we've seen, that evidence in the report seems to suggest that there's no impact on the visual amenity in terms of external lighting, etc. And we've heard that noise isn't an issue that can be controlled much better than via the proposed management plan that's put forward. So I suppose you're probably looking at, logically, I suppose what members are saying is that they're not satisfied with the adequacy of the management plan. I'm guessing that goes to impact on amenity in terms of the number of aircraft movements, but I think members will have to develop that further, because I'm just perhaps paraphrasing what's been said.
Thank you, John. And those that raise their hand to object, please come up with the reason for refusal. That is a material planning condition.
Mr. Chairman, I just think it is an issue of public health and safety. These things taking off. You know, we would have public health and safety as an excuse on another type of application. Why not this?
Chairman, just picking at the two elements of that, public health and safety. If we're saying safety, what aspect of safety are we talking about? And again, public health, are we talking about noise, vibration, vision and trip? In terms of safety, I think we're going to have to quantify what element it is, because this is something that's going to have to potentially be defended in an appeal, potentially a public inquiry.
I think fans of Leicester City would probably remember when a helicopter dropped out of the sky a couple of years ago for no apparent reason, and you are putting people in potential danger by the proximity of this helipad to adjoining properties, neighbours, and also, as had been mentioned before, livestock. There's so many things that could kick off by a helicopter going up.
Chairman, those matters are all controlled by other legislation. It's not a matter of
not
for the planning committee to decide the safety of flying aircraft. That's quite beyond the remit of this committee. You deal with matters concerning residential amenity, and you're making a decision on the planning balance. And what harm is that? And you're looking at the hierarchy of the policies as set out in the report. I think really the only matter you could say it goes vaguely here is the question of residential amenity, but there's no evidence of any health or safety concerns, certainly not by any of the statutory consultees.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Phillips, do you have a proposal?
Can I just have some clarification? Obviously the planning application is for the helipad and for the hangar. We are talking about the noise, etc., that's caused from the helicopter, but do we need to be looking at material planning considerations based on the hangar itself?
The planning application is for the landing pad, the road to it, and the hangar. That is the application that you are deciding upon this evening.
So the noise created from the helicopter is not something that we can take into consideration at this point. I want a clarification on.
You can take into account noise from the helicopter whilst it's on the ground.
Whilst it's on the ground.
Yeah.
Kemp has his hand up, Chairman.
Councillor Kemp.
There is a possibility of the suggestion on the top of page 31. In the interest of the safety and convenience of use of the highway and safeguarding the occupants of nearby residential property from undue noise and general disturbance. And the next one is virtually the same. I mean, we asked the applicant if he would consider sticking to this slightly changed management plan, and it came back he was not interested, and yet the committee sent it to him or sent it back because they were concerned, and the committee, majority of the committee, are expressing the same concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do agree with my colleague that the committee are showing concerns. Unfortunately, our concerns aren't falling within the planning guidance, and sadly, I can't see any alternative but to allow this. Like I said before, it's very unsatisfactory. I would hate to be a neighbour of this, but as we sit here now, what can you do?
We need to make a decision. Councillor Beattie.
Chairman, are we allowed to take another vote on it?
Sorry?
I suppose you needed a proposal, and you'd add to the reason for the proposal that certain matters clarified, and you might add those in as reasons. You had a bit more of a debate, it seems, that after the further understanding after the debate that's just happened.
I'd like to make that proposal on those grounds that we've had a debate and our hands are tied, basically.
Is the proposal to permit as per the recommendation?
To permit as per the recommendation.
And
subject
to by Councillor Jones.
Well, I was going to say, Chairman, that there's so many agencies with no objections on here that we do need to take that into consideration.
Thank you. I did say that, but obviously councillors still have the right to their own minds.
Yeah.
Right, I've got a proposal again that we accept this recommendation. It's been seconded. And we'll take another vote because we've fully debated all aspects of it. All those in favour of this application, please show.
Five.
Those against? Three. Abstentions? Three. The application is therefore approved, subject to conditions as per the officer's recommendation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councillor Godfrey.
Can I ask again how we will police the number of flights?
How we will police the number of flights?
I think that's the question that wasn't asked.
I agree. Yeah.
Chairman, the details on the management plan on page 14 require record keeping of every flight made within any 24-month period. We would have the ability, or Environmental Health would have the ability, either to request that information.
As long as we do.
Sorry?
As long as we do.
Can that be applied?
Normally you would only request that information if there is a complaint.
So it wouldn't be regularly asked for that. I know that would be the case.
Okay. Well, it's something we would have the ability to do.
Well, I think you know where I'm coming from with
that
question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Chair, can I thank the committee for listening to the concerns of residents?
No, thank you, Councillor Winnington. You may retake your seat.
Thank you.
Members, if you turn to page 33 of your agenda.
Chair,
33 of your agenda, then, let's hand over to our planning officer, Sean Wright. The application, sorry, is 2032128FUL, Rowley House Nursing Home, 26 Rowley Avenue, and it's an extension over existing wing.
This is an application to extend Rowley House Nursing Home, which is situated on Rowley Avenue, which is within the settlement boundary for Stafford. You can see the plan view in front of you on the screen with the red edge showing the extent of the existing nursing home. The aerial view, obviously similar view, but you can see that the existing nursing home is a large building which is located amongst residential properties. The application proposes a first floor extension over an existing single storey extension, as well as a small two storey extension to provide a stairwell. The extension would provide a further 9 bedrooms to the existing nursing home. The proposed first floor extension would have a hipped roof with an eaves height of 6.4 metres and a ridge height of 8.5 metres. We've got a total of 9 photographs showing the existing site. Image 1 shows a view of part of the existing single storey projection, that's the south elevation. Image 2 shows a view of part of the same elevation you just see, but also shows part of the rear elevation. So the proposed extension would be going over the top of that single storey projection that you can see. Image 3 shows the photograph of the other side of the projection that we've just seen, it's the north side, and you can also see a little bit more of the rear elevation of the nursing home on this photo. Image 4 shows the front elevation as seen from Rowley Avenue. You can see there's an existing parking area to the front. Image 5 is taken from Sandown Croft, which is situated to the south of the site. You can see on image 5 there's some gates. They provide a side access to the nursing home. Image 5 also shows the extensive vegetation along that boundary, which helps us to screen the existing extension. Image 6, this photograph was taken from the rear view of number 1 Sandown Croft, which is situated to the south of the nursing home. You can see the roof, you can just about see the roof of the existing single storey projection to the back of the nursing home. Image 7 shows the entrance to Sandown Croft. You can also see the side gates again, sort of part way along that photograph, which provide a side entrance into the site of the nursing home. Image 8 shows the side elevation of number 1 Sandown Croft. We'll note from the photograph that there's no side principal windows to this property. And finally, image 9 is a photograph taken from Rowley Avenue to show the entrance to Sandown Croft. You can see number 1 Sandown Croft facing towards the road. So we're going back a photograph, that's the side elevation, and then we've got the front elevation there, and you can see the side of the existing nursing home to the right of that photograph.
moving on to the plans, got another red edge plan again, showing that it's a large, it's already a large building situated within the large site. You can see Sandown Croft to the south of the site, in particular number one Sandown Croft, which is the first property as you enter into Sandown Croft off Crowley Road. Plan number two shows the proposed parking layout, and you'll see that the additional proposed spaces are outlined in pink. So four of those spaces are accessed from Sandown Croft through the side gates we saw in the previous photographs, and there's an additional two parking spaces to the front of the premises. The plans 3 and 4 show us the existing floor plans and elevations. So we can see on the existing ground floor plan, there's a number of bedrooms. That's the existing elevation. So you can see on the left-hand side and right-hand side elevations, the existing single-storey extension to the rear of the premises. The extension proposed would go above that projection. Plan number five shows the proposed floor plan. So essentially, we've got 9 new bedrooms shown at first floor, which is the top part of the plan that you can see before you. Plan number 6 is the proposed elevations, so I think they're fairly self-explanatory. You can see the extended part is shaded in brown and would essentially sit on top of that existing single-storey projection at the back of the nursing home. So the main issues with this application, which are outlined within the report, are the impact on the character of the area. You'll note that the overall height of the proposed extension is below that of the main building. The extension is also set well back from the main side elevations, and it's not considered overall that the proposal would represent a form of overdevelopment or be out of character. Residential amenity is also covered within the report, and the proposal is considered to be compliant with our design SPD. And it's not considered that the proposal would have a materially harmful impact upon the neighbouring properties. No objections have been raised by Environmental Health. Just going back to the parking plan, this plan was received fairly sort of well into the consideration of the application, as additional spaces were required. And the Highway Authority have not raised any objections on the basis of parking. The recommendation is to approve subject conditions listed in the agenda.
Thank you, John. I've got an objector, Mr. Keith Howe.
Yes.
Sir, if you'd care to come up to the table at the centre there.
I thought the supporter spoke first.
Sorry?
I thought the gentleman who was supporting.
No, we do the objector first and then the supporter to follow.
Could I challenge, before I start, could I challenge the information that you've been given by the Sean Wright, that is incorrect?
Sir, you're allowed 3 minutes. The fact you're talking, you're already encroaching on your 3 minutes of presentation.
You were given,
you may remove your mask to speak.
My name is Keith Howe and I live at 1 Sandown Croft. And I'm representing the Token residents. We're totally opposed to this development because its overall dominance of the area, the destruction of the privacy of our homes, and the unworkable parking arrangements. The nursing home is 3 times the size of our house, and there's a huge two-storey building dominating the area. It fills the site north to south, and we make it even bigger east to west. The building of the first floor We'll bring the walls of the extension into view. We'll have the visual effect to bring in the whole extension closer, and we'll be overbearing on all the properties surrounding it. The privacy of all the properties around the home will be badly affected by the development, with our house and 30 Rowley Avenue being the most affected. Privacy is the most is an important consideration for the borough, as listed in bullet 22 and 24. However, there are no guidelines on property with regard to commercial buildings, bullet 25. Bullet 29 is about opposing principal windows. This doesn't apply here. Here it's about an observer standing on 5.5 metres above the ground, having an uninterrupted 180 degree view of back gardens, our back gardens. Bullet 30, the officers are not applying the guidelines because there aren't any. They are expressing opinions, and we consider our opinions carry more weight. They are disinterested parties, whereas we're not. We have to live with the residents staring into our back gardens forever if this is approved. And moving to parking, it's proposed that the main entrance steps will be demolished, the dedicated ambulance space will be removed, and a totally unsuitable satellite parking area being brought into operation. I and my neighbour have extensive experience managing manufacturing units operating under the shift system.
Sir, you have 1 minute to fill.
We consider the highway's proposal, bullet 41, is unworkable. This is because there's little room to manoeuvre in the satellite car park, and the gates will have to be opened and closed again each time during the parking of at least half the cars. We believe only 4 bays should be counted. If the dedicated ambulance parking space is removed, there are 22 car parking spaces. If the ambulance space is retained, there are 20. Both a significant shortfall to the Borough Council parking standards of 25. Therefore, this application should be refused. However, before we make any decision, we urge the Planning Committee to visit and appreciate the extent of the problem. And I would like to say that that information you've given is incorrect. There are 7 car parking spaces in the 7 satellite area, not 4.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Care to resume your seat? You're 3 minutes up. Do you wish to respond to anything there, Mr. Lassus? Do you wish to respond?
Just mentioned about the parking area, so what you called it, satellite parking area. I think I said there were 4 additional spaces being proposed in that area. I think the parking plan clearly shows there's already 3 there, so there'd effectively be a block of 6 and then 1 additional space.
All right, thank you. I've got a supporter, Mr. Taranjit Sahira. Do you care to take your seat, sir?
Hi, I am Mr. Sangera, but I would like Carol, the hall manager, to speak on behalf of this. Please, we didn't request it.
That's in order, yeah?
Yes, that's in order. You take your seat.
Could you repeat her name, please, Chairman?
Can you repeat your name, please?
Carol Pierce.
Make yourself settled when you're ready. You'll have 3 minutes from when you start your presentation, and I will indicate when you have 1 minute to go.
Good evening, everybody. I'm the home manager, Carol of Rowley Care. As you heard, Mrs. Sanger is the director, and we'd like to present our views on why the proposed extension of Rowley Care would be beneficial to the local community and economy. My team and I have been running the care home for 4 years. The home was opened in the 1950s, and we have a good relationship with all our neighbours. The rooms will benefit the local community as we are looking to form a dedicated dementia unit. The proposed extension will go some way to assist in providing this valuable service. Dementia is on the increase in England, and we will accommodate this for the local community. The local CCG, Stafford County Council and CQC will support this as they often struggle to fill placements for dementia patients in the area. We as a business want to offer dementia clients a safe place to stay, ensuring they receive the care that they need and to prevent clients moving from home to home until they can finally settle and have a permanent home. The unit will be specially designed for dementia clients and for us to provide person-centred care. We would ensure our plans match local needs, our home has access to local facilities and public transport. We intend to extend the maintain good links with local health and social care services, community groups and local resources. 90% of our staff live within a 3-mile radius from our home. The majority of our staff members do not drive. As a company, we encourage staff to keep the environment green and provide a dedicated area for bikes to be stored on the premises. For staff members who choose to drive and visitors of the care home, there is ample car parking available which can also accommodate the extra rooms. The majority of the staff are going to start dementia training level 2 and 3 in order to be prepared for the dementia unit to develop the knowledge and skills needed for the dementia unit to succeed. We are aiming to run the unit with a separate team. The home manager and deputy manager will oversee the unit and use our nurses when needed. Surrounding the home has gardens front and rear with lawn and planted areas. There are various trees at the rear, making part of the site an ideal area for residents to sit outside under supervision as necessary to enjoy the fresh air. So all we're trying to do here is provide vital beds. There is a massive shortage of dementia beds in the areas. Because as I go on the bidding sites, bidding for clients, 1 out of 10 is nursing. The rest is all residential dementia clients. And I know they're being very hard to place at the moment because the beds are short. And that's why we're proposing to do a dementia unit.
Thank you very much. You may resume the seat. The ward councillor, Councillor Trowbridge. From when you start, you'll have 5 minutes, and if you haven't finished, I'll let you know when you have a minute to go.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Start whenever you're ready.
Before I start, would you mind putting up the pictures I submitted, please? There's 3 pictures I want to show. The one that's at the front, because your front picture didn't show at all. Your own plan too will do. And then later on, there's a picture of what looks like of a car. That explains my roofs, that's all. So this one will do, lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for allowing me to speak against overmassing. I speak on behalf of everyone who lives down Riley Avenue. This picture of the main house shows it stretches now from boundary edge to boundary edge. The middle section being the original large detached house that changed to a care home in 1982. At that point, it was already 100 years old. It has now grown to every boundary. Bullet point 3 of the officer's report talks about the wider area, not Rowley Avenue. If you look at the plan view, pop on the plan view, please. You can see all the houses have space around them. Even the newer homes that are built in the back gardens, which have no side windows allowed, are all hidden from Rowley Avenue because of the effect on the street scene. This single story extension to Rowley House Nursing Home was no exception to this rule. With a hip roof of 2.5 metres, how can it then be acceptable to change to 6.4 metres, hence the overall height of 8.5? This will tower over the houses behind, which if you put the picture up of the car, it shows it's a similar height to the house behind. Bullet point 8, car parking spaces. The spaces at present has a turning space at the front and parking for 14 cars. To increase this area to the 18, all the bin stores will have to be crammed together by the slope to the door. The steps taken away, the turning space taken away. What a shame Highways didn't visit this site. It would have saved a lot of time. Post to the left of the entrance has only just been rebuilt after being hit, and this was with a turning point. Yet everything now will have to reverse onto the main road. Since when was that allowed? The parking to the rear has a gate that goes inwards, hence this plan is not possible. But even if the gates change to sliders, how would you get seven cars to enter and exit together, again, with no turning point? And am I the only person who thinks there will be a changeover of staff for, say, 15 minutes, where the shift workers let their colleagues know what has happened throughout the day? That seven people leaving altogether is utter nonsense. And since when was no ambulance space acceptable for a care home? Bullet point 24 to 27 of the officer's report, the plans state there are no SPD guidelines for separation for a care home. So this is just a guess. Was the fact that residents scream some of the nights, that windows, if they're open, you can hear everything right through the night, that lights are on all night, that bedrooms aren't just bedrooms, but complete living accommodation. To somewhere that all there is to do all day is look out of a window, yet we are suggesting oblique windows. Yes, this would be a minimum requirement, but what does that mean for the residents? Bullet point 33, building right up to the garden fence, 3.3 metres from a new extension to a rear garden. My house sits on nearly half an acre, and yet I was told I have to keep it 7 metres away from the back garden fence. This is SPD guidelines, so why is 3.3 not in reach? So in contrary to the planning officer's report, my plea is reject this application on grounds of three things. Firstly, SP1, presume in favour of sustainability.
You have 1 minute to go.
Thank you. Well, what does the MPPS say about that? It states change for the better, not only for the built environment, but our natural environment. And is it essential for our well-being? The nicest part of this care home is the conservatory. This extension will block out all the southern sun, and the garden space is already so tiny it wouldn't be acceptable for a single house down this road. 65 metres squared is the minimum for a three-bed. This garden space leaves about 90 metres squared, that's all.
Can you sum up now, please, Councillor?
To sum up, no sun, no windows, no garden. This is well-being for our elderly. Secondly, policy C3, specialist housing, CI, states except providing the development is compatible with the character of the area. This is most definitely not in keeping with the area. And policy T2, parking and manoeuvring, states there must be adequate turning and an ambulance space. Neither show on this plan. So reject on SP1, C3 and T2. Proposal would harm the character of the area and the development would be harmful to the highways. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Councillor. You may remain in your seat for any points of clarification.
Thank you.
Does the planning officer wish to respond to anything at this stage? Right. Anyone wish to speak on this? Councillor McEwen.
Just seek clarification. I read in one of the highway reports that 25 parking spaces, I think that was also mentioned earlier, 25 parking spaces, but only 22 are provided. I didn't know we had a kind of plus or minus on parking spaces allowances. It's close. Is it close enough to refuse, or is it close enough not to refuse?
Like anything on planning, it's a balance. I don't know if our planning officer.
I can clarify that for you if you wish. It has got the 25 spaces. Why you're confused is three are hidden behind the other three. Impossible to do.
I read that.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak on this? Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I have to say I'm really, really confused over this parking. I'm looking at the plans and I cannot get my head around how you can open gates inwards and be able to park out enough parking provision for both visitors and staff, and the resulting effect is that neighbourhood properties have people parking on the streets outside their homes. I have great fear that this is exactly what we're going to see here, because I cannot see how this could possibly work. I just can't.
Unfortunately, our highways, who are our authority on this, have not objected. I'll take Councillor Godfrey first, and then Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chair. Two really good presentations, or three really good presentations, we can't all remember. But I have to say, it's led to more questions than I had originally when I read the report. I think, personally, and I don't obviously, I'm new to the committee, I'm not sure how these things work anymore, but I'm pretty sure I would benefit from a trip to the number of
people.
So I can only go aside, Mr. Yeah.
While our legal officer gets up.
Could I just clarify something while this is going on, so no one else is speaking anyway? Highways haven't actually been out to see this when you said Highways agreed to it. They haven't even been out to see.
No, they do a lot from computer modules, and we know that. And the number of times we've said there's no objection from Highways, but again, they are the authority, and we're not.
T2 states.
Sorry, no chit chat, please, between members and the ward councillor. Just bear a moment, I'll get that one. Thank you. Under the present regulations, we can't make a site visit. However, as the regulations change on the 21st of June, if the committee is so decided, we could arrange a visit after the 21st of June.
I'd like to move that, Chair.
So it's proposed, Councillor Godfrey, second Councillor Kemp, that we pay a site visit. All those in favour?
Trevor, can we just clarify some specific reasons just before you take the vote? Because you, like any other proposal, you do need the reasons. So perhaps what aspects was it that they wanted to see at the site visit? Could we just clarify?
Would you like to clarify that, Councillor Kemp?
We'd like to see the site and to visualise the... to visualise what this proposed extension will create.
The impact
on neighbours and impact on the site itself.
And traffic.
And also, there's a lot of query about the car parking.
Yeah. Councillor?
I wonder if I could also add to that. I'm extremely concerned that the ambulance space is going to be taken away. I had occasion to visit the home on 5 days running. There were two vans there doing repairs inside the home and a number of cars. It was extremely tight to get out, and I couldn't help but think when I was sitting there, if someone was taken suddenly very, very ill and we needed an ambulance, that ambulance wouldn't have been able to get in, it wouldn't have been able to manoeuvre, you know, and that could have been a life lost because of the car parking situation. So I would like to add that to the reason for it.
So the impact of the loss of the
ambulance.
Absolutely,
yes.
That's very good, thank you,
Chairman. Just to
the other reasons.
Again, it's been proposed and seconded. All those in favour that we pay a site visit. That is unanimous. Thank you, members. Thank you, Councillor Trevor.
Chairman, we can't fix a date for the site visit today, but we will advise once we've worked out the logistics.
Thank you. If any members of the public wish to leave at this stage, they may do so.
Thank you.
Now, members, if you can turn to page 46.
Thank you.
Thank you. You will be informed. Obviously, we'll have to arrange a site visit through you, sir. Right, is everyone ready? Application 20/32679/FUL, 6 Mill Farm Barns, Mill Street, Stone. The proposal, retrospective application for the retention of existing fence and erection of fence adjacent to Red Hill Road. I think again, Sean, you'll leave it with us.
This is a retrospective application for a 1.8 metre high timber boarded fence adjacent to Red Hill Road in Stone. The fence currently extends 35 metres in length, however, a further 48.5 metres is proposed. You can see the plan view in front of you on the screen. There's a very, very thin, sort of long red edge strip. Which denotes the location of the fence running along Red Hill Road. The aerial view shows a similar image. In fact, you can probably see the red slightly better, I think, on the aerial picture. The fence falls within Marshall Valley, on the edge of Marshall Valley Conservation Area, and which extends to the west of the site. Red Hill Road falls outside the conservation area and is characterised essentially by two-storey dwellings. Just going to run through the photographs. We've got a total of 7 photographs. Image 1 shows the properties Brookview and Millview, which front onto Red Hill Road, and you can see the fence in question just beyond the property to the left of the photo.
Thank you, Joel.
Image 2 is a sort of closer image of the fence, where you can see the fence of a lower height. That's the fence belonging to Brookview. You'll also note on this photograph that the gravel boards to the bottom of the fence have been removed. This has been as a result of recent flooding incidents. Image 3, again another photograph of the fence, but looking south along Red Hill Road, and you can just about see in the distance at the end of the stretch of the fence the property book view. Again, image 4 is also looking along Red Hill Road. You can sort of see where the fence ends. As I've previously stated, only part of the fence has actually been erected. Image 5, again, is similar to the previous image. However, this image does show the existing green boundary with Red Hill Road. Image 6 shows the parking space at Brookview property and the relationship of the boundary fence with Brookview. And the final photograph, image 7, shows a view towards Mill Farm Barns, which are situated on much lower ground, and the photograph was taken from within the curtilage of Brookview. So the first plan shows the proposed fence detail. This is detailing a galvanised steel grate to be fitted in place of the concrete gravel board. As previously mentioned, this has been proposed due to recent flooding events The grate will allow the natural flow of flood water from Redhill Road to lower lying land. The lead local flood authority have been consulted and do not raise any objections. Plan 2 just simply shows the extent of the fence in the context of Redhill Road to the east, and you've got Mill Farm Barns to the west on the lower lying land. Plan 3 is an existing plan, so this is essentially showing that prior to the installation of the fence, there were railings at the boundary, so the railings have since been removed and the fence is now in place. Plan 4, again, another location plan, just showing the extent of the land where the fence would be located, and also the land within the applicant's ownership, extending down to Mill Farm Barns. So the main issues relating to this application are the character of the area. You'll note from the officer report that the conservation officer raised an objection on the grounds that the fence presents a hard and dominating boundary to the conservation area and obstructs views. It's not considered, however, that the fence would appear prominent from the conservation area, and it is viewed more readily from Redhill Road, which has a suburban character. And in this context of the street scene, the fence is considered to be acceptable. It should also be noted that permitted development rights would allow for a fence of up to 1 metre in height in this location. Overall, the fence on balance is considered to be visually acceptable. Secondly, highway safety issues have been raised, particularly concerns about pedestrian visibility from Brookview. The Highway Authority have been consulted and don't raise any objections on the basis that there's already a fence to the side of Brookview which already obstructs visibility, therefore there would be no advantage in lowering any part of the fence. As previously mentioned, there's been issues at the site relating to flooding, hence the reason for the gravel walls being removed and the metal grates being inserted at the bottom to allow the free flow of any flood water. And as previously stated, the lead local flood authority have been involved and now do not raise any objections to the application. The recommendation is to approve subject to conditions stated in the agenda, and to a further condition to ensure that if the fence is approved, it's retained to include the metal grates in accordance with the approved plans.
Thank you, Joan. I have an objector, Mr. Roy Larch. So, sir, if you could take your place at the table. Make yourself comfortable. You'll have 3 minutes from when you start, and I'll inform you when you have 1 minute to go, so you could sum up. So start when you're ready, sir.
Good evening. My name is Roy Larch, and my home has been in Redhill Stone for the past 6.5 years. I've submitted 2 objections to this application, and not only am I speaking on behalf of myself, but I'm also speaking on behalf of some of the residents. Now, I'd like to concentrate on the flooding issue. I know that Councillor Fordham is going to talk about some of the other important issues affecting this, and I'm grateful, and we are grateful in calling this in, because I don't believe that great emphasis has been placed on the flooding issues of this fence and its consequences. And I know there's been quite a bit of documentation about this fence, but it is more than just about a fence. That is our objections. The Redhill Road has been nominated as a Zone 1 flooding area for some considerable time. And the amount of water that flows from the Redhill during flooding is substantial. And for some considerable time, It has always been the case that the water would cascade down from the Red Hill. It would find its level by the drains which are just up from the new housing. And then the level would rise to the point whereby it would overflow into the agricultural land to the west, which is now part of the applicant's land. Since April 2019, when this fence was installed, there have been three occasions of flooding, two of which have caused serious damage to two of those houses. The first house has suffered some £30,000 worth of damage as a direct result of this fence, and the other house has suffered £10,000 worth of damage. So it's just more about flooding, really, as far as we're concerned, than anything else.
You have 1 minute to go, sir.
Thank you. So we consider that this proposal to install the metal grids will not work, it will not suffice. All that will happen is the grids will become blocked and they will force the water further down, possibly causing greater flood risk to the other houses. In between time, we do know that the applicant has raised the ground behind the fence because we believe, well, I can't prove, but we believe that the fence was installed to stop the overflow of water flooding over into his land. That is what we believe.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Would you care to resume your seat? The ward councillor, Councillor Fordham.
Oh, there's another another speaker, Chairman.
Sorry,
there's a supporter.
Ah, yes, sorry. Yeah, Mr. Keith Riley.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah, sorry about that, sir.
Okay.
Again. Settle in, you may remove your mask to speak. You'll have 3 minutes from when you start, and I'll inform you when you have 1 minute to finalise.
Thank you, and good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
The applicant has asked me to speak on behalf of himself and his neighbours in Mill Barnes. The applicant thanks your officers for their work to date and for the committee's time today in considering this application. He also apologises for being unable to be here tonight in person. He's having to lead a COVID vaccination clinic. Regarding the highway on Red Hill Road, the Highway Authority appears to consider that on balance the amended proposal should be granted by the Commission, as the fence is not thought to be detrimental to highway safety. Considering the flood risk of Red Hill Road, the applicant has cooperated fully with council officers in amending the design of his boundary fence for its proposal to full length, and the LIFA are satisfied with the design of the grating at the base of the fence. This will allow for the flow of any highway surface water from the highway onto the applicant's land. The applicant considers that there is no evidence or record of a natural exceedance route from Red Hill Road across his land. However, to assist his neighbours generally, and particularly at Rig View, he is willing to construct a proposed fence with the open grating. Further to this, he is presently accepting surface water from Rig View onto his land to help his neighbours remove floodwaters when necessary. During the most recent flood in January 2021, the applicant's fence was damaged. He understands that this was happened during an urgent attempt to move standing floodwaters, and he appreciated that issue at the time. Floodwaters are now presenting a serious hazard because of their increasing frequency and severity in many areas, including the Red Hill Road. The applicant and his neighbours in Mill Barnes are hopeful that a long-term solution can be found, with the preferable collaboration of the Highway Authority, the LLFA, the LPA and Severn Trent Water Limited, so that professionals with a lot of knowledge in their field of expertise can work together to improve the overall situation of flooding in Red Hills Road and neighbouring streets.
1 minute ago, sir.
Thank you. With regard to conservation matters, the applicant agrees that these are very important and his neighbours all live in close to Scottsbrook agree. They consider that the proposed fence will not impact on their development and associated within their area, and also consider that the proposal is similar to boundary measures already on Reynolds Road and neighbouring streets. And the applicant, given these comments, I think you can see is a reasonable person and is just trying to live in harmony with his neighbours and the environment itself.
Thank you very much, sir. If you care to resume your seat. Of the ward councillor, Councillor Fordham, if you care to take a seat at the front there.
Thanks, Chair.
Chairman, has Councillor Fordham got some photos, is that right?
Yes, I believe so. He can call for those.
Thank you. Can I tell you if I need them, because I think some of them have already been shown.
Yeah, you just take a seat. You have 5 minutes, Councillor, so your time will start when you're ready, and I'll inform you when you have 1 minute to go.
Yes, this unauthorised fence damages the setting of the conservation area, causes flooding problems for neighbours, and is a danger to pedestrian safety. The land, as we've heard, stands on the boundary of the conservation area, whose appraisal states its aim is to ensure that the LPA developers and property owners are aware of the area's special character when drawing up proposals, and is a material consideration when considering development affecting the CA, including its setting. The west side of Red Hill Road is 600 metres in length and has long benefited from low metal fencing affording views across the CA. 50 metres is hedged. This has formed a soft boundary treatment typical of the CA and in keeping with its character and appearance. The unauthorised 1.8 metre closed board fencing is obtrusive, completely hides the views. This application calls for it to be approved retrospectively and extended from 35 to 85 metres, further damaging the setting. The sensitivity of development in the setting was noted by case officers in reports on applications in 2009 and 2014. The conservation officer objects because the unauthorised fence presents a hard dominating boundary to the conservation area and obstructs views across the valley. The land in question is not within the lawful curtilage of any domestic premises and has no clear convincing justification provided to explain the necessity of such an obtrusive boundary treatment. I disagree with the case officer. The fence is incongruous and dominating compared to the soft boundary treatment it replaced. You can see that on the photo over there. And did not allow views across the valley given established hedgerow. That's what the case officer said. This is wrong. Much of the fencing covers an area without hedgerow. Views have been totally blocked. This has not been considered in the assessment. I hope the committee disregards the claim that the fence extension is required for security. There are no crime reports. Several times a year, Red Hill Road carries, as we've heard, a floodwater torrent 30 centimetres deep with large amounts of debris down to Scotch Brook. The previous Victorian style metal fencing allowed the water to find its natural course over the land to the brook. The fencing has redirected the flood water into the two neighbouring properties. The properties had not flooded before construction of the fence. Brookview has now flooded 3 times in 15 months. Insurers say that further flooding will make it uninsurable. This incongruous fence now requires steel grates and metal bars, which will shortly be blocked by the tsunami of debris. A new bank of earth behind the fence redirects water back onto the road and from there into the adjacent properties. I would suggest granting permission would be contrary to local and national policy. The MPPF Para 163 and PPG make clear that development which increases flood risk by impeding or diverting flood water should not be permitted. Highways does not object, yet confirms in a contradictory manner that the fence causes problems for pedestrians invisible to a driver leaving Brookview. This is a safety issue. I ask the committee to refuse the application because granting permission would damage the setting of the conservation area, as stated by the conservation officer. The fence disrupts the natural flow of water, resulting in the flooding of adjacent properties, and attempts to mitigate by metal grates will further damage the setting and prove ineffective. There are pedestrian safety concerns, as confirmed by highways, and it does not conform to national and local policy. Instead of erecting a further 50 metres of closed board fencing, damaging to the street scene and conservation area, I suggest the applicant removes the current fencing and replaces it with open metal railings, set back to the original position, and removes the earth bank that impedes water flow. If in doubt, perhaps the committee would like to take a look for itself. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Councillor. You can remain there for any points of clarification that we receive. Does our planning officer wish to come back on anything that's been said at this stage? No. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have three questions, if that's all right, but my first starts with, is the conservation officer somebody we should be listening to here? Because it confuses me that the conservation officer is saying refuse this, put it back to iron railings, but we've kind of ignored that throughout. So I need that answered first so that I know which route to go down.
We know, you see what the conservation officer says, and what you need to take into account is what can be done under permitted development rights. So if you decided to refuse this application, if you decided to take enforcement action, the most you can do is reduce this to a metre in height, take 80 centimetres off it. So whilst the conservation officer has an objection to it, it would need to be in relation to the top 80 centimetres in effect, because you can't secure the removal of the rest. That's why when you consider the planning balance, it's a material consideration, but there are other considerations that in the balance here outweigh that. Now, if the applicant decided to put a 1 metre fence up, it could be a solid fence totally, with no grate or anything like that in it. So what this application is proposing in its revised form is the fence with the grate at the bottom. Now, yes, we've heard, and again, it's something you'll need to take into account, that may get blocked. But clearly, on the other hand, you could have a 1 metre fence there with no holes at all in it that we would have no control over. So that's part of the balance that you need to take into account.
May I come back with my
yes,
other
yes.
two then? So if we refused it on policy N1, N8, N9, as suggested by the conservation officer, stating it's a conservation area, hence this shouldn't be allowed, this retrospective permission, you're telling me it will just be cut down by 80 centimetres?
No, I'm not necessarily saying that, although I have seen people do it before. In a previous authority I worked for, we served an enforcement notice that required them to reduce it to a metre, and they literally went across with a chainsaw. But that's not normal, but it's possible. But you could take the panels out and the posts and reduce it to a metre, and there's nothing we could do about that.
I'll come back later.
Okay, yes, carry on.
Because now I'm confused.
Mr. Chairman, has there been any conversation with the applicant in respect to vertical bar railings instead of timber panels?
I'll let the planning officer answer that. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there were vertical railings there before, which have been removed. I'm not aware that the case officer who dealt with this application has had a conversation to insist that they should be reinstated. Obviously, we're looking at an application retrospectively for the fence.
Just come back before Francis. Is that a conversation that should be opened up? And we defer a decision until that conversation has happened?
That's the question.
Well, we could ask the question whether he'd be prepared to do that, but obviously we have an application before us for a fence, which we're here to consider.
Councillor Gareth Jones.
I'm concerned about the flooding and the cost resulting from that flooding. And it seems reasonable to request that any action is taken to ensure that the impact of flooding on neighbouring property is minimised. And I think that's a reasonable request from this committee as to how that is achieved. I take the point that he's made, that permitted development can allow a certain height of fence, but in a sense, that is not the most relevant issue. It's the damage that flooding is doing that it can be of concern.
And yet the local flood authority have been consulted and have not objected.
Yeah, I do accept, Chairman, the comments that were made about the damage, the frequency of that damage and the recent impact of that damage.
And I would have thought the metal underneath the applicants agreed to would have the same effect as metal fencing. No. I've got Councillor Beattie, then Councillor Trowbridge.
Councillor Godfrey as well, Chairman.
Right.
Chairman, thank you. I think it's just such an ugly fence up against a conservation area, which is why, in heaven's name, must an applicant put something up that is so badly designed and so ugly? I think that's the essence of it. It's apart from the fact that the flooding, which I agree with Brenda, we have here a piece of fencing that's going to be extended that is really, really obtrusive. As the ward member said, it's incongruous, it's intrusive, and it dominates the boundary. It's such a shame. I really feel strongly that this is a bad application. I understand all the reasons why the planning officers are recommending approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I've got Councillor Trowbridge and then Councillor Godfrey.
Do you want to go to Councillor Godfrey first, as I've already spoken?
Oh, thank you for giving way. Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Just going back to what John said regarding if there was a 1 metre high fence that was put in there, which is nothing we could do at all. It'd just be able to put it. But surely, if it was causing a flooding issue, there would be some comeback. I mean, if you could demonstrate that fence, even though it being 1 metre high, was causing a flooding problem, surely there must be some mechanism to remove it.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not quite as simple as saying you can just put anything you like there.
Sorry, but it is. There's nothing we could do because it's the General Permitted Development Order is secondary legislation. It gives that permitted development right to people. You can construct a fence up to a metre in height adjacent to a highway, or if it was set back further, it could be 2 metres in height. So going back to Councillor Trowbridge's, I think, point about the fence, if the fence was situated a bit further back, we wouldn't be here today because we wouldn't have an application for a 2 metre less than 2 metre fence set further back. So I take your point in terms of flooding, but the General Permitted Development Order doesn't say unless it floods some land or something like that. If it did, we could deal with it, but no, we literally have no control if it's a metre in height.
No, I can through you, Chair, just to follow up from that. I totally understand what you're saying, John. I mean, I know if it was 1 metre high, it's nothing we could do. I appreciate that, I get that. But if that fence then started to cause a problem, surely there must be mechanisms somebody could, or some agency or somebody could, say, but you've got to shift your thing.
The occupiers who were affected would have rights in private law. But I think the point John's making is he's talking about planning enforcement with the powers of this council.
Chairman, sorry, just a question of John again. Does that, what you said, does that apply even though it's in a conservation area?
It's adjacent, I believe, to the conservation area,
it's
not in it. Well, that's what I would like to believe.
Well, that's what I'm not quite sure about.
Well,
I know the highway is not in the conservation area, but I assumed that the property was.
Effectively, when you look at the conservation area boundary, it's along the line of the fence. Because,
so
as you say, the highway is not in it, the land is. So that's the boundary. So
it is in the conservation area.
So it is in the conservation area.
It's literally on the boundary.
And so my question is, does that rule apply, or lack of rule apply?
Yes, permitted development rights are no different in a conservation area unless there's an Article 4 direction, and we've only got four of those in the borough.
Indeed.
Thank you. We've got Councillor Trowbridge and then Councillor Phillips.
And Councillor McEwen.
And McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question now is the galvanised steel grate that we're talking about that will or could go along the bottom if we accept this. Is there a way to make that more open? Instead of a galvanised steel grate that would block up with soil, as was said, to make it more open. Have we got the jurisdiction to state something different or not?
Well, one of the things you'll see in the report is that there's been various different designs for that, and the League Local Flood Authority have objected to previous lesser openings along the bottom. So the form that we've got now, and I think Sean just brings up the drawing with, there's a drawing that has a detail on it. You can see what's shown there is not dissimilar to the bottom bit is not dissimilar to the metal railings that would have been there in the first place in terms of the big distances between them. The origin, one of the earlier revisions had smaller gaps, and I think that's probably got to about this, about the extent that metal railings would have done for at least that bottom part. As I say, it has been 3-4 different versions, I think, before we've got to that, and that's the one that the League Local Flood Authority are content with.
To me, it's crackers why you wouldn't have just left it as metal.
Councillor Phillips.
A number of things that have already been raised by my fellow councillors I'm going to talk about. But can I just have a look at the councillor's picture, please, that they supplied?
Any particular one?
The one with the unobstructed view, please. The original. Yeah, that's fine. So it's my understanding that that's where the fence is now erected, or part of the area where that fence is now erected. And I'm really struggling to understand the need of the applicants to put up a fence of that size due to, I think you said, the antisocial behaviour or some kind of unreported problems that they've had. When there's, is that an electric fence that I'm seeing? That is that a cattle fence?
Oh yes.
So I'm.
I think I need to get Councillor Fordham to tell.
You want to clarify that, Councillor Fordham?
I can clarify that. That is a short section of barbed wire fencing to keep cattle within, which I think is.
Barbed wire fencing, not an electric.
Beyond
fence.
That, there are railings.
So
to the left of that, you've got the hedging and fencing.
That looks like it's electric.
Yes.
Me. In which case, I'm struggling to understand how the fence that he's erected is any more of a deterrent than the fence that was already there. And how on a conservation area he should be allowed to erect the kind of fencing that has been erected. I mean, this is retrospective, so if it wasn't retrospective, what would we have been saying to him? Yeah.
The fence is retrospective because it was put up, we got a complaint, enforcement officer went out, visited, and advised that an application was required. As I understand it, the applicant didn't understand that he required an application in the first place. When he was told he did, sometime later we got this application in. If somebody sought advice in terms of what was appropriate, then it wouldn't be the first thing that we'd say, put a 1.8 metre close border fence up. But you have to consider what is the application and not what you would ideally like. Because you're considering the application on its merits, not against the ideal.
But this is still a conservation area.
Yes, it is. But as I said before, you have to also take into account, what you have to take into account is what the fallback position is. The fallback position here is that you could take the top 80 centimetres off and it wouldn't need planning permission anymore.
Through you, Chair. This gentleman is looking to extend this fencing further still, though, isn't he?
Mm.
And that being the case, and the fact that there seems to be a lot of hedgerows there, is this ancient hedgerow that he's looking at removing from this site? Because my recollections of this area, it's been untouched and looked like that, well, certainly in my memory, and I imagine in many other people's, long before mine. I'm really concerned about the blasé way that this applicant seems to be treating the landscape, and well, obviously the properties that this is affecting of the neighbours.
Chairman, I'm no expert on ancient hedgerow, but that doesn't look like one to me.
It's a well-established one.
I think Councillor Paulden wanted to just clarify something.
You want to clarify why, Councillor?
Clarification, I can't comment on ancient hedgerow either. But this is a very mature hedgerow. It's about 2 metres high and about 1.5 metre deep. Most of it's hawthorn dominated. I don't think there's any, personally, I don't see it. There's a security issue there. You'd need emergency services on standby if somebody tried to get through there.
This road leads up to
Patrick. All right, thank you,
Gareth. My understanding, which is a very old area of stone. I just don't get it. I just don't understand what this man was thinking.
All right, thank you. Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could I propose that we defer this decision to allow discussion with the landowner to see if there is some wriggle room to put vertical bar railings there and to replace this timber board fencing.
Is that a planning reason?
Chairman, if the committee want to vote to defer the application for us to ask the applicant to make alterations as they did with the previous application we heard tonight, then obviously we will do that. But I would want the committee to specify what they're seeking so we can be clear with the applicant that this is the question, so we then have a clear answer, yes or no.
I'll second that, Chair.
Nothing's been proposed,
yeah. I think, did you propose it, Brendan?
Well, suggested a deferral, but I propose it now.
It's proposed a deferral, but what's the grounds you're giving for proposing the referral? That's what John's saying.
Vertical bar, bow top railings. That's round tops like that. So
can I just let me just clarify with Councillor McEwen. Mm-hmm. Vertical bar, bow top. Height?
1.8.
Okay, 1.8 metre. Bow top. And metal?
Metal.
Right, okay.
Powder coated black.
So the proposal that this is deferred so consultation can take place with the applicant to consider metal vertical bow top railings instead of the 1.8 metre wooden fencing. You sound with that, Councillor Barton?
I'm happy with that, Chair.
Do you wish to speak or are you voting?
Chair, I'd like to speak. Do we have to be so specific? I mean, that's a really expensive fence that you're kind of talking about. Any kind of metal fencing, provided it had some kind of blending in with the background. So green, I'm happy with, but to specify a particular type of fencing, I think is not really leaving much room for any kind of a discussion.
Chairman, if I can just respond on that, I take your point about the colour. I'm not asking you to say what colour, but we do need to be specific about what we're asking the applicant to do. Now, I didn't need to know whether it was bow top or not, but I needed to know what kind of material it is, and to be clear about what we're asking. So, you know, 1.8 metre high metal railings would have been sufficient.
Maximum 1.8.
Sorry?
Maximum 1.8.
I did say, if you say vertical bar, though, it is quite specific. Whereas if you proposed just 1.8 metal fencing, you could get...
Yeah,
yes,
no, I do agree with
Councillor
McEwen on that, because otherwise if you just say metal fencing,
yeah.
You're not being specific about
well,
what kind.
Metal bar fencing.
Yes.
You wanted to say something,
Councillor Trevor? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have said open fencing. That would have been my main issue there. But I did have a question before we move on from there. If we did accept this, is there a way to... How you were saying earlier that metal grid underneath and else he could just chop it off and we won't have the metal grid. I'm still worried about that in the back of my head. Is there a way to accept that without him having the extra 85 metres, 48 metres added to it, so he couldn't do any more? Or does this have to go as a whole?
The application you've got in front of you tonight is part retention and part additional, so there's two different elements of it. When I said that you could do a 1 metre high fence along that line without any control, that was both retaining what's there if it was reduced and building more. It would be, you could build 85 metres, 1 metre high, and we couldn't do anything about it.
I'm just worried about making it worse for the residents, not better, because if he doesn't come back and play ball and we end up that it's reduced but it's solid and people are going to be flooded for the rest of the time, that's just my concern here.
I've got you, Councillor. Councillor Beattie.
Chairman, I've got an alternative proposal that we reject this application on the grounds that the unauthorised fence presents a hard and dominating boundary to the conservation area. There's no clear justification for its height. Safety for pedestrians and damaging to the street scene.
I'm happy to second
that. That sounds like Councillor Phillips. Because we have a proposal on the floor. Sorry, Councillor Hobbs.
We've got two proposals.
I just wanted to comment really that I'm quite concerned that he actually removed the hedgerow in a conservation area. Mm. And I think that's probably added to the flooding. Mm. And I also, what worries me is going to remove more hedgerow. Is there anything we can do to make sure he doesn't do that? I mean, do people have to apply to remove hedgerow? I don't know.
Yeah. Can I clarify the reason for your
right,
proposal?
Right, the unauthorised fence represents a hard and dominating boundary to the conservation area. That it's there's no clear justification for the hard fencing. It blocks views on the grounds of safety for pedestrians.
I'm not so keen on that one because there's no holidays.
Okay, and damaging to the street scene.
Okay. I'll take the amendment first then, and advise. So we propose and seconded that we refuse the application for the reasons that Councillor Beattie stated. All those in favour, please show. Down, those against? Abstentions? The application is therefore refused. There's no need to take Councillor Fordham's amendment. Thank you, members. Thank you, Councillor Fordham.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
If any of the residents wish to leave at this stage, please do so.
Thank you.
Turn to page 62, members.
The ward member's going to speak on this one or not.
I haven't been notified.
Oh, yes, sorry, yes.
Possibly not.
Looks like the same thing.
Thank you, members. Page 56. Application 15/23264/FUL. Land between Boatyard and Chandler's Way, Newcastle Road, Stone. The proposal is a construction of 3-bed and 2 4-bed houses. Way to our planning officer.
Thank you, Chairman. You'll see from the agenda that this is an unusual report. It is here because the planning committee resolved in February 2017 to approve this application subject to Section 106 agreement, and it wasn't until last year that the Section 106 agreement was completed. What we taken legal advice, and what we need to do is to look and see if the planning policy situation has changed in the interim period. So you'll see on the couple of pages that I've written, two pages really, I identify that there have been no changes in national policy, but there have been changes in local policy in terms of the emergence of the Stone Neighbourhood Plan. So there are, I've identified three policies that are relevant, and I've gone through them on page 57 to look at what they consider. I come to the conclusion that whilst both national and local planning policy has changed since February 2017, there is no significant change that would result in a different recommendation being made if this was a new application today. And as such, there are no grounds to depart from the committee's previous decision. As such, what this report is asking you to do is to endorse the February 2017 resolution in order that the Planning Commission can be issued because the Section 106 agreement has now been completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Councillor Kemp.
Yeah, as one of the original committees that did a site visit, I move that we accept the officer's report.
Second.
Yeah, second.
It's proposed by Councillor Kemp, seconded by Councillor
Godfrey. Might have just got it now, I don't know.
You wish to speak, dear Councillor Hood. I've got a proposal for a seconded that would be accepted. Councillor Hood.
Thank you. I would like to ask the committee to take into account that the Stone neighbourhood plan now has been made due to an overwhelming referendum vote of yes, and that this area is part of a local green space within that neighbourhood plan. And I know I can't propose, but I would say that there's very strong reason to object to this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Chairman, if I may.
Sorry.
Yes, good way to this, Mr. House.
If you look at page 57, Chairman, second paragraph from the bottom, I've identified policy CAF for local green space, which I think is what Councillor Hood was referring to. The application site is adjacent to, but not within, the LGS 04 allocation. So if it had been the land to the southwest of that boundary, then I would entirely have agreed with what Councillor was saying, but I don't believe that the neighbourhood policy CAF 4 is applicable. I simply put it on here because it's adjacent to the land, but not the land itself.
Do you wish to respond, Councillor?
Yes, please. Yes, I hear what you're saying, John. But I think reading through everything at the time, it was left out that the area is part of the Stone Historic Character Assessment, because the market garden and the allotments and the paddock are actually all joined together, and I don't feel that was made clear at the time. I wasn't on the planning committee.
Thank you. Any other council wish to speak? I have a proposal which has been seconded. You wish to speak?
Sorry, yes, Chair, only really just to conclude with what Councillor Wood said, it's from a character perspective of the area. I do wonder whether maybe there was, maybe it wasn't quite understood in the way that you would if you actually knew this particular part of Stone. I also have grave concerns over properties of this particular kind in a number of cars that are likely to be pulling out on that particular junction, which is a bit of a it's not the easiest of junctions to pull out on. It's a particularly dangerous one. I just wanted to just express my thoughts there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was on the committee when this one did come up, and the major concern was the traffic issue and coming out of this particular area onto the main road to the A34. There was some concern over turning left, but a major concern about turning right. I'm not sure whether the 106 money that is being used for highway purposes is in recognition to some extent of the difficulties that were perceived at that time. There was some talk, as I recall it, in relation to the green aspects, but I think the majority of the concern was related to traffic.
Councillor James is absolutely right. The Section 106 agreement is a £10,000 contribution to highway improvements in that area. It includes the build out, marking, signage, things like that. So the aim is to increase the safety of that junction, both not just for these four properties, but for the other users of the road as well.
Thank you, John. Yes, Councillor.
Yes, thank you. I won't labour the point about the highways, but
Gareth is quite right. We now have a super bike shop there, and it's a dog cafe and a cafe for other people. We have hundreds of cyclists going in and out of that junction now, which wasn't happening at the time. Such an increase in traffic on that junction. This is so long ago now, I really do believe that we should look at it in a new light and refer it back and consider it once again, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Phillips again.
I'm sorry, I feel inclined to agree with Councillor Hood. It's changed a lot. This area has changed a lot. The way that this particular part of Stone, how it's used, has also changed. The footfall has increased dramatically. The shops along the towpath, it's not the same place as it was when the planning application was initially looked at, and I fear that it's going to completely change the appearance, the feel of that particular area, which still feels historical at this moment in time.
Can we please stop discussing each other? You could discuss anything through the chairman if you wish to say something.
Thank you. And I was just saying, hasn't this already been approved?
It has been approved. It was subject to the 106, yes, which took some time.
Yes.
Had it not been that the delay in the 106, it would have gone through. This is why it was brought up tonight, just to confirm that decision. Now the 106 has been paid. I'll give way to our legal officer.
Chairman, you do have a proposal to permit that's been seconded, and that is the only proposal you have at present. So I think you need to take a vote on that. But could I just reiterate that it's absolutely right what the council has just said. This has previously been approved. You heard from John Holmes that he's looked at the changing landscape of policies. It is not sufficient changes to justify deviating from the original decision. And there's also a lack of highways evidence around the concerns that have recently been expressed by members. I do have to warn you that there would be a substantial cost risk to the council if the matter was now not approved.
Thank you, sir. I have a proposal in a second that this application be accepted subject to the conditions listed. All those in favour?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Down. Those against?
1, 2, 2.
Abstentions?
1, 1.
The application is therefore approved as per officer's recommendation.
Page 85, I think, Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. Page 85, members, appeals, 3 new ones, as listed, 2 appeal decisions, 1 for 9 Church Appleshaw, which was dismissed, and 1 for Blackberry Way, which sees Chaplin, which was dismissed.
Can I ask a point of order?
Yes, indeed.
What's happened to the planning committee that was held on the 15th of February 2017?
What happened to it? The minutes of that meeting were included.
Yeah. They were withdrawn because, as you can see, that we were thrown out. Now you might as well have thrown us out this time, now.
Any comments on the appeals?
No.
Thank you very much for your attendance, officers and members.
Thank you, Chair.
And I must say, it's pleasant to take. Oh, the next meeting will be on the 9th of February. It's proposed that they'll be held every 2 weeks from then until at least September.
Monday.
9 to June should be
a fortnight.
Fortnight.
Can I give apologies? I will be available.
Yeah, can you give them?
Yes, I will.
And find whoever your substitute is.
Rob Kenny.
Thank you, members. Sorry, Peter, what were you going to ask?
No, when's the next meeting? My problem, Mr. Chairman, is I'm the chairman of Ecclesfield Parish Council, and they meet every 4 weeks. And while we were doing the 3 weeks, it clashed a couple of times over the next 12 months. But now it's gone to 2 weeks, and I've got too many. But obviously,
more to attend this session.
Are you muttering to yourself?
You know my colleague Lee.
He was in church.
I've got to get rid of all these papers now.